All right, we're back to ways that we can save money together. I gave you 1 through 25, now we have 26 through 50, and of course there's way more than what I'm giving you. Just trying to give you some ideas so you start thinking. A lot of times people don't save because they don't give any attention to it. They think it's impossible. How can I save? I'm in debt. I can't do it. But you can if you just think about these things, have an open mind, and maybe apply just a few of them. Number 26 is use the library. Now, in the United States, we have libraries. I don't know what you have in the country that you're in, but here we have libraries. They're free. You can get books. You can get DVDs. You can get music. You can get music, movies. You can sit there with your computer and you can get on the internet, and all of it's free. So you can do, you could actually do all of your CLI courses right there at the library. It doesn't cost you anything. And this one relates to number 27, make use of free entertainment. Doing fun things does not necessarily have to cost a lot of money. I learned that early on when I started dating my wife. One of my favorite dates was to take her to actually this city that CLI is in, Grand Haven. Beautiful channel next to the water, Lake Michigan, the beach. And I used to drive her there. It was about an hour drive, which was nice. You could talk. Then we'd get an ice cream cone for $1, so it cost me $2. We'd walk down the pier, we'd watch the sun set in the water, and then we'd take a stroll on down the beach. And there was a log that was along the beach, and we could sit on that log and listen to the water come in, and then we'd drive an hour back. It was a beautiful, incredible date, and all it cost me was the gas to get to Grand Haven and the $2 for the ice cream cone. Entertainment does not have to cost money. In fact, a lot of times, the more it costs, the less interaction time that you actually have with someone. Number 28, keep track of your savings. If you're trying to lose weight, one of the best ways is to keep track. You know that you're making progress, that you sacrificed and now it's paying off. If you want to learn how to bowl, here in the United States we have this game where you have this big heavy ball and you throw it down the alley and you knock some pins down. The first time you do it, you don't do so well. You throw the ball, there's a gutter, and so you don't get any of the pins. But after a while, you start learning. And the only way that you learn is because, you know, last time I hit 5, but this time I threw it better and I hit 7. And the next time I threw it, I hit 9. So keeping track helps me know where I'm at. And it empowers me and it excites me. So if you're playing soccer or football and we were to take away the goals and we're out there just kicking the ball around. You got two teams that are just kicking the ball around. Soon we would lose interest. Hey, what's the game? What are we trying to do? But we put a net there. And then when our team puts it in, we get a point. And when your team puts a ball in our net, you get a point. And now it's 1-1. And now it's 2-1. And now there's only 5 minutes to go in the game. See, and things get really exciting because we're keeping track. That's what you need to do with your money. The more you keep track, the more you can see your progress. When you start saving money, it doesn't come to very much. But after a while, little by little, it starts growing, and you can see the things that you're doing have an effect. I don't have this on the list, but let me give you just an example. When I was in college, I decided to cut my own hair. Back then I had curly hair. It would come out to here, and I'd take a mirror, and I took the scissors, and you have to do it backwards because the mirror makes everything backwards. But I figured out how to do that, and because my hair was so curly, it didn't matter if I was close or messed up or anything. So I got started doing that. Then I met my wife, And someone taught her how to do it, and she's been cutting my hair ever since. Now, we've been married close to 37 years, almost 40 years she's been cutting my hair. Now, if you get a haircut every other month, that's 6 haircuts a year times $10. That's $60 a year times 10 years would be $600. Times 40 is $250, $300 I've been saving. And if I had invested that money into Facebook way back when, it'd be worth, you know, $20,000. My point is, it's a thing that doesn't seem like much, doesn't seem like anything, but over time, it adds up to something more significant. And it's fun when you keep track of it. You can see what you did and where it is going. It's like a game. So keep track of your savings. Number 29, get by with less clothes. How many clothes do you need? How many clothes does one person, how many pair of shoes do you need? How many shirts do you need? You know, if you were to go to your closet, probably half the things in there you never wear. I mean, if you're like me, I like 3 shirts. That's what I wear. And 4 pair of pants, I just keep wearing the same things, and then I have all these clothes. Why do I have these things? Get rid of them. Get by with less shoes. I already made that point. Get by with less toys. Kids and toys, at least in the United States. I remember one Christmas, I have 4 boys, and one Christmas we decided, they were little at that time, we decided to give each one a roll of saran wrap, a roll of tin foil, a couple things of tape, you know, stuff like that, pencils, paper, and we still have it on video. When they opened that stuff up, they just thought it was unbelievable. Generally, when you buy something for your kid, it comes in a nice big box. 10 minutes after playing with the toy, they're spending an hour playing with the box. Why? Because they're being more creative. Kids have so many toys, they don't even know which toy to play with. Less toys, less clothes, less shoes. Number 32. Before buying, apply hay wagon test. Now you're wondering what the world that is. The hay wagon. I never heard of the hay wagon either, but my sister-in-law, my brother-in-law came to our house once, and they're from Iowa, and they come from the land of all kinds of farms, and they talked about the hay wagon. And what it is, in a farm situation, let's say the two farmers end up dying, they have this big sale. They sell everything, the machinery, the animals, and then all the stuff out of the house. And they put all the little stuff on a hay wagon, the wagon that used to carry the hay. They put all this little stuff on the hay wagon, and everything on the hay wagon costs like $1 or $1.50 or $2. It's all stuff that nobody really needs. And so my sister-in-law, my brother-in-law said, that's what we do. Before we buy something, we always ask ourselves, is this thing that we're going to buy today going to go on the hay wagon? And if it's going to go on the hay wagon, then maybe we don't need it. Let's not buy it in the first place. Number 33, never pay interest on a credit card. Never, ever, 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 ever. If you have to have a credit card, because that way you can, you know, rent things, and we're on vacation, you can rent a car and things like that. If you have to have a credit card, fine. But never, ever, ever, ever not pay off what you owe every single month. The interest on a credit card is like phenomenally higher than anything else. In fact, if you're thinking about investing your money, if you could invest in something that would pay you as much as the interest on a credit card, it would be phenomenal. Credit card interest rates are incredibly high, and if you miss a few payments, they get so high that it's almost criminal, really. Up to 30% on your money. So if you're going to use a credit card, like I have a credit card, and I've had one for 20 years, and in 20 years, I have never once, not one single time not paid off whatever I owed every single month. So all they're doing is giving me a car that is convenient for me, but not a way to make money off. And why do credit card companies get credit cards to people? They get it to kids. They get it to people that are just going to school or in high school or in college. And why? These people don't have money. Because they want them to default. They want to be able to charge them 30%. And then some people never pay, but the credit card companies make so much money that they can overcome people that don't even pay at all, that they lose everything. So it tells you how much money is being generated by this. You don't want to be a part of that. Never pay interest on a credit card. Number 34, increase insurance deductibles. If you have insurance in your house, have insurance in your car, health insurance, all these things, there's usually a deductible if you have a crash and they're going to cover the fixing of the car. They're often a deductible, $1,000, $500, $200. The lower the deductible, the higher your premium is going to be. Think of insurance as the catastrophe backup. Insurance is just there so that if something happens, it doesn't just wipe you out completely. It can still hurt. It can still cost you something. I mean, it's an accident. It's not going to happen all the time. What you want to insure is the catastrophe. I don't want to be bankrupt because some bad thing happened. But if some bad thing happens, it's okay if I have to pay a big deductible. These things don't happen that often. My father started many businesses, and one of the businesses he worked at, the first businesses he worked at, was insurance. My grandfather was an insurance man. And so my dad worked for my grandfather and eventually took that business over and then later sold it. But my father, who sold insurance, he sold car insurance. My father never put in car insurance, collision insurance, on his own cars. And he sold insurance because he realized, you know what, I'm going to just insure myself. Insurance companies make money off of this. I'm going to be the insurance company to myself. So rethink some of your insurance deductibles. Number 35, limit gift giving. A lot of people spend a lot of money at times like Christmas and they want to buy things for their family. But what happens is with these times of forced giving, birthdays, holidays, is you end up buying stuff people don't need. And people then have to buy you the same stuff that you don't need. So these holidays are made up things that the world has figured out and retailers have figured out. Let's get everyone buying and selling. And we all buy stuff for each other. And you give me a gift, I give you a gift. And who's giving anything? Nobody's giving anybody anything because I'm just getting back. And, you know, so what's the point of the whole thing? And then we end up buying stuff we don't even need or want. It's not the gift, it's the thought behind it. Let's you know, some families, instead of the gift-giving thing at Christmas, they just go on a little excursion together. Make some memories, do something fun. Not all this money stuff. At least in our country, I think the day after Thanksgiving, you know, some retailers either make it or break it on that one day, getting people to buy stuff. Limit gift giving. Number 36, pass on extended warranties. Every time you buy something, at least in our country, you know, people want to sell you a warranty. If this thing breaks in a year, you know, we'll fix it for free. But the truth is, most people never claim their warranty. You buy this tool, and if it breaks, you can turn it in and they'll fix it in the first 3 years. And 2 years later it breaks and you have no idea whether you put that warranty on or didn't put that warranty on or where that warranty is. And even if you found the warranty thing, you send it to them and they send it back to you 3 months later and it's a different part and it's a different... It's really not worth it. Again, insurance is for catastrophes, not to, you know, save you money. Number 37, insulate your home. Whether you live in a cold climate or a hot climate, insulation keeps the energy bills down. You'd be surprised how much money is going right out the door. Number 38, pay bills on time. In my home, my wife is the one who pays the bills. She's the one that keeps track of things. Some families do not have anyone that keeps track of anything. And so bills don't get paid. And then when bills don't get paid, fines get added to the bills. And then you can't keep track of your money. You don't know whether you have money or you don't, or whether money is out. You can't tell where you're at. This whole money thing requires someone paying attention. It's a discipline. And once you get the system down, it's easy. But if you don't have a system, if you're not consistent, if you're not disciplined about it, it's nothing but one headache after another. Pay your bills on time. Number 39, put money saved towards some winning purpose. The easiest way to save money is to have a reason to save it. So Frank over here wants to buy a boat. That's his goal. He's over here on this camera. Not a big boat, a little boat, maybe a $2,000 boat. That's his goal. Well, right now he has zero money towards his boat. But he's got 1 year to figure this out. Now, it's a goal. It's sitting right out there. And with his eye on the boat, what he needs is a picture of this boat. And then every month, he needs to start doing something towards getting this boat. But once you have something objective that you're going after, it's a whole lot harder, easier to do it. If you have a general notion, you know, I think I'd just like to save some money. Well, what for? I don't know. Well, how much? I don't know. Well, guess what? At the end of the month, you won't have anything. You have to have a specific thing in mind. This is how much it's going to cost. This is when I would like to do it. Divided by 12, this is how much I have to do every single month or it's not going to happen. So what's your winning goal? What is this thing that you really want or really need? And again, remember, all of it's God's. How are you going to use it for God's kingdom? Put money saved towards some winning purpose. Number 40, write a goal you have with your saving. So actually write it down. This is what I am trying to do with this money. I want to buy this. Well, one of the things that I want to buy is a new cutter. I have a book binding business in my garage. I bind covers to Bibles. And right now I have one cutter that I have. You have to by hand crank it down and then it cuts. It makes a nice, it'll cut like things this thick. Well, I have to crank it down, I cut it, then I have to uncrank it, and when you do 1,000 like that, it gets pretty tiring. Well, I want one that automatically comes down, you don't have to crank it and cut it. Okay, that's a specific goal. It costs a specific amount of money. I'm already looking. I'm going to definitely buy it used. I keep looking and looking and looking. But I have to have an account that comes out of. So little by little, I'm saving for that cutter. Now, I've been doing this for 7 years. I've been getting by with the other one for 7 years. Because I'm not going to pull the... I don't need it 100%. I'd like it. It's a goal. But I'm going to wait to the right moment. Be patient with it. All right, right goal you have with your saving. Number 41, travel cheaply. Some people, when they go on vacation, they just spend money. Hey, we're on vacation. I'm disciplined all my life, but I'm on vacation, so I'm just going to spend it. Well, you could go on two vacations if you didn't do that. So the number one best way to save money on a vacation is to visit relatives. They let you stay for free. Or friends. And you know what? It's more fun. You see some person you haven't seen in a long time? Why not? The other way is to, you know, you can comparison shop, flights, all these things. You know, you always check. I have an idea of how much flights cost, and I know when it's cheap and I know when it's not. So I'm never going to pay a full price for anything. That's a mentality that you have to have. I'm not paying full price for anything that I buy. If I have to pay full price, I'm not buying it now. Travel cheaply. 42. DUI, do it yourself. A couple of months ago, my dryer, you know, dries my clothes, went out. So I went online. How do you fix this dryer? There were two parts. They said, if you order this part, it fixes it 60% of the time. If you order this part, it fixes it 25% of the time. So I bought both parts. I replaced both parts, and the dryer works. I don't know which one was broke, but I thought, you know what? For $45, I'm doing it. And boom. So I fixed it myself. Now, that doesn't always work. I've got laptops that I tried to fix and then I end up throwing them in the trash. But there's a lot of things that you can do. Do it yourself. Do it cheaply. Number 43, buy something only when you can pay for it. This is probably the number one thing on saving money that I can think of. Buy when you can pay. Buy when you actually have the money. Don't buy when you don't. 44, grocery shop by list and by sales. Okay, this is interesting. I put down these little statistics, and this is sort of a separate thing. It says Canada 0, Germany 9.8, Italy 10, Japan 17.9, UK 5, United States negative 2.2. And I don't know exactly what this statistic was about. I found it on the internet, but it had something to do with units of saving. So in other words, Canadians on average save 0. But in comparison, Germans save 9.8, whatever it is, whatever they're using to compare. In Italy, they save 10. In Japan, they save 17.9. In the UK, they save 5. In the United States, we save negative 2.2. In other words, we don't save money. Every year that goes by, we go into debt. So there's a mentality that we have here in the United States, at least, about not saving. So that's why number 45, be a saver. Make that a thing. You know, people have made a game out of buying. They get a little high when they buy. Well, you know what? You can get a little high when you save. Especially if you keep track of it. Hey, I'm making progress. I'm getting closer to my goal. 46, stop comparing yourself to others. We like to buy because someone else bought. Someone comes in with new shoes and you go, hey, wow, those are cool. I need those too. Where'd you get them? Or a new shirt, or a new hat, or a new car, or whatever it is. And we compare ourselves with others and we start thinking we're less than others and then we're going to catch up. We can be ourselves. We don't have to be like others. In fact, it's better to be who you are than to be someone else. Number 47, set up a saving plan. Do not rely on daily motivation. The problem with trying to save by motivation, your daily motivation, is, you know, I start out in the morning and I go past the coffee shop and I have no trouble saying no because my willpower is high. I can do this. But later on in the afternoon, after I've said no to a lot of things, my willpower has been used up. I don't have any more willpower. And so all of a sudden I end up buying stuff that I don't need. So if you're going to rely on your willpower is only good for so long and then it wears out and then you cave in. That's why most people fail to lose weight. They can't lose weight because they start out strong, but at some point they lose all their willpower and they cave in and it's done. Don't rely on willpower. If my wife didn't buy all the junk food at my house, I wouldn't eat it. I don't have to say no to anything because it's not there in the house. And so that's what we need to do with our finances. We have to set up our finances in such a way that I don't have to constantly say no. If I was doing the cash system and I just don't have any money in my wallet, then I don't have to say no. I can't do it. I don't have the money. And I don't have a credit card that can make me do it. If you make it so that you don't have to say no, that things just happen automatically, you'll be surprised at what you can do and how much you can save. Number 48, realize that the money you save, you will get to eventually spend. Okay, it's not like you're losing the money that you're saving. You're just delaying its use. 49, get whole family on board. You know, when I try to lose weight, if my wife is not on board, and when the kids were home, if they weren't on board, then I couldn't do it. My wife is going to buy ice cream, stick it in the fridge, but I can't have any? No. She's going to bake cookies, but it's for my kids, but not for me? No. See, everyone has to get on board with this, or I'm not going to solve this. You can't have one person in the marriage trying to save money, and the other person in the marriage spending it. Both have to be on the same page. Number 50, seek out friends that have the same financial goals. Hang around people that think like you. Now, I don't have number 51, but if I were to add number 51, let me add this. If you're taking classes here at CLI, you're already saving money right there. Because it's free. For example, I went to Calvin College for 4 years. It cost a lot of money. I could have gone to CLI for 4 years and then went on to Calvin Seminary, and all that tuition that I paid in those days I wouldn't have to pay. So good job, number one, just taking classes. And if you want your degree and there's a little extra money that you have to pay, it's still a small little percentage. Learning is probably the number one way to save on anything. It's the knowledge that you have that will help you rather than trying to motivate yourself to save money. It's knowing what, again, it's having that big picture. What's this all for? It's all God. He's got me on this planet for a short period of time. What does He want me to do? What does He want me to do with my time? What does He want me to do with the money that I make from what I do with my time? You know, really all we have is our time. And what we do when we work is we exchange our time for some money. Now, if I'm going to give my time, which is limited, to something, to get some money, what good thing am I going to do with this money? Money is not money. Money is your time. And time is your life. And Jesus died on the cross to pay for my life, both in this life and in the life to come. And I want my life to count. And I'm sure you do too. The time that you're on this planet is precious. And God put you on this planet for a reason. He wants you to be a blessing to those around you, to be a part of the kingdom that He is building. And your work and your money and all these things are just part of that.